Turn with me in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 29. Exodus 29. We're moving our way, making our way through. All right, Exodus 29. And Father, we're so grateful, Lord, that you have brought us to such a time as this to hear your word and to sit at your feet. So, Lord, speak to us. We need to hear from you in Jesus' name. Amen. Exodus chapter 29. The title of this message is Enjoying Ministry. Enjoying Ministry. I think this is a key message for us to really understand, because there are a lot of people who don't enjoy ministry. When they think of ministry, they think of ministry as being a drag. There are others who are not serving God because they think ministry is a drag. And therefore, many people like you who are there, out there, who are just sitting in a chair week after week and doing nothing, there's a reason why you're doing that, because there's a perception of ministry that you have in your own heart. But serving God, there's no greater joy than being able to serve the Lord, the very one who saved our soul, the very one who's going to take us to heaven one day and be with him throughout eternity. For us to spend any amount of time to serve him here is just an incredible thing. You have not experienced joy until you start serving the Lord. I didn't say you haven't experienced happiness. That's a different thing. Happiness is an emotion based upon outward circumstances. Joy is an internal thing. It comes from the spirit. You can have joy in the midst of sorrow. It's not an emotion that's based upon external circumstances. It's an internal thing that God works through the spirit. And you have not experienced joy until you start serving the Lord. And here we're talking about, we're going to see through the life of Aaron and his sons, how ministry is to be enjoyed. Look what it says there in verse 1. It says, "And this is what you shall do to them, to hallow them for ministering to me as priest. Take one young bull and two rams without blemish." And we're going to just stop right there. What I want to bring to your attention is that phrase in verse 1. It says, "And this is what you shall do to them, to hallow them for ministering to me as priest." Here is God giving Moses the instructions for Aaron and his sons on how to do ministry. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:12, he says, "I thank Christ Jesus, who has enabled me, because he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry." And I can't tell you how much I echo those words of Paul, because I thank the Lord all the time for enabling me and putting me in the ministry. Ministry is a privilege because of three reasons for you note takers. Number one, kickback blessings. Kickback blessings. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, in Mark chapter 4, verse 24, it says, "With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you." In other words, what we give out, we will get back. This means when I pray for others, I end up getting blessed. When I share the Bible with other people, the truths of the Bible get confirmed in my own heart. So the privilege of ministry brings, number one, kickback blessings. Number two, future rewards. See, what we do in ministry, no matter how big or small, we will be rewarded by the Lord. We find this in Matthew 10, verses 40 to 42 for you note takers. No matter what you do to try to draw people, draw them to the Lord, whether it is getting up early and praying for those people on your job, or sharing some encouraging words with your children before they leave for school. And I encourage that you lay hands and pray for them before they leave. Lay hands, pour oil on them, do whatever before you send them out to the wolves at the school system. Pray for them. These things, they don't go overlooked by the Lord. I believe when we get to heaven, some of the tears that we're going to shed are tears that we didn't do more for the Lord while we were here on this earth, when we see those eyes of his, we're going to weep. That's why the Bible says God shall wipe every tear from our eyes. Why is it that we're in heaven and we have tears? Revelation 7:17 says that, Revelation 21:4, that God will wipe every tear from our eyes. That's because when we see him, the one who paid the ultimate price for our sin, we're going to see how much time we wasted. What we could have done. What we could have given. How much time we could have given to serving the Lord. When we see that one who paid it all on Calvary's cross, we can't do nothing but weep. We can't do nothing but shed tears, and he's going to have to come and wipe them away. And the reason why he has to do that, because we will spend eternity weeping, regretting the stupid things we spend money on, the wasted time we spent in front of the TV and video games and silly movies and stupid stuff that has no eternal dividend to them. The many times I've watched my favorite movies over and over and over and over again. And when we see him, we're going to weep, and he's going to have to wipe every tear from our eyes. And so the privilege of ministry, it brings, number one, kickback blessings. Number two, future rewards. Thirdly, I love the ministry because of the real needs all around me. People are lost without Christ. People are illiterate of the Bible and its truth. The Bible said that there will be a famine in the last days. Amos 8:10-11. It said that there will be a famine in the last days, not a food of drink or drink, but famine for the word of God. I can't tell you how illiterate people are today of Bible truths. And that burdens my heart. There are churches that emphasize the worship of God. There are churches that emphasize, you know, evangelism, reaching the lost. There are churches that emphasize we ought to reach the world for the Lord, and all those things are great, and all churches should have a part in doing those things. But then there are churches like ours that are burdened because people are not being taught how to worship God. They're not being taught how to walk with God. I said people are not walking with God today because they're not taught how. Church is something they come to get entertained. Church is something they come, and it's like taking a plug and plugging it into a socket, and they get, you know, all into the emotion thing, and then they leave out and go back to their old life. That burdens my heart when I see that. When I see churches fill up with people and they come just to get some emotional charge. And then we hear them say, oh, God was moving so much we didn't even have time to open the Bible. And I just said, you know, that kind of stuff, it burns my heart. So God raises up churches like ours in order to teach people the truths about him from cover to cover. Verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. And this is why we do what we do. So So I'm burdened. So the needs all around me, and I see how illiterate people are of the Bible. You talk about, I mean, simple truths that we used to hear all the time growing up about David and Goliath, and people don't know about that stuff today. Oh, you know about David and Goliath. They're looking at you like, what about him? Yeah, I mean, I think he was a giant. So what's the story behind it? And you're like, are you serious? You playing with me? No, I'm not playing with you. So those things, that burdens my heart. So the teaching of the word of God and the things of God, I see that there is a need. People, they're getting tired of, you know, just jumping around, running around. They're getting tired of all that. They say, you know what? I want to be taught. What does the Lord require of me? And so we see them flooding in. Technically, to be honest with you, we're at 3 Sunday morning services. Technically, we really need to go to 4. Now that is something that weakens my knees, and I just, you know, I get lightheaded just thinking about that. Sure, we got the West Auditorium that's not filling up, but this side here, You know, it's funny. I was over there doing worship, and I'm reminded of how a pastor out in California, before they moved into their new facility, watch this. He was doing 4 Sunday morning services, 2 Sunday night, and 2 Wednesdays. And I look at us now, and I say, yeah, we got the West Auditorium, but it's almost at a point now. Because they said, when it gets 80% full, you need to do something. And as I look around, I'm like, ooh, I said, this Wednesday night too. And I got to just thinking, I said, no, not 2 Wednesday nights. No. But what's happening is people are hungry for the teaching of the Word of God. Because when you get taught the Word, it creates a hunger for more of the Word. We see that in Acts chapter 13. It says that when they taught the Word of God, it said that the next week, the whole city came out to be taught the Word of God. See, teaching the Word of God, it creates a hunger for more of the Word. I was just talking to someone that my wife and I, we just ran into someone at Sam's Club. And they were, you know, used to attend another church years ago. They've been in our church for many, many, many years now. But they ran into some folks from the old church. And, you know, he was just telling me, he said, once you get a diet of the teaching of the Word of God, you just don't want anything else. And then when many of you go and visit relatives, go back home and all that stuff, and of course they want you to go to church. And then you go and you're like, I can't wait to get home. And it's all a testimony of the Word of God and what it does. So this is why I love the ministry. And because of these blessings, the kickback blessings, the needs around us, all, this is why I love the ministry. I get blessed in return. I'm praying for you, sharing truth with people. It confirms the truth in my heart. You know, the fastest way to learn is to read. Seek to obey what you read, and then watch this. Here's a third step. Seek to teach somebody else what you learned. Oh, that word gets so cemented in your heart, and you're like, whoa, okay. This is the teaching of the Word. So, we all are in the ministry. When you think of ministry, you think of me, what I do. No, I'm in ministry, but so are you. The Bible says every person is a minister. Every person in the body of Christ is a minister. That doesn't mean you got a title. Now all of a sudden we handing out tags, minister so-and-so. No, that's not, what? Some of you want a tag, don't you? You want a tag. It ain't about no tag. We ain't giving you no tag. Just know you're a minister. Diakonos is where we get deacon from, but it means servant. You're a servant, slave. I can give you a slave tag. You want a slave tag? No, I want that. I want to minister. You know, I want to be minister. Hey, we all have a ministry. Now, here's the thing. Your salary may be paid by Uncle Sam, the shipyard, Newport School District. No matter how you're getting paid, but you're in ministry. And you need to see that. We are all in ministry. Now, look at verses 1-4. It says, and this is what you shall do to them to hallow them for ministering to me as priests. Take one of the young bulls and 2 rams without blemish and unleavened bread and unleavened cakes mixed with oil and unleavened wafers anointed with oil. You shall make them of wheat flour. Oh, God, it's all about being healthy, huh? The wheat flour right here. It says, you shall put them in one basket and bring them in the basket with the bull and the 2 rams and Aaron and his sons. You shall bring to the door of the tabernacle of meeting and you shall wash them with water. Now, Aaron and his sons were brought to the door. And you know what? And so were we. Someone brought us to the door of the church. Or someone brought us to the door of Jesus Christ. In other words, the Spirit of God directed someone to talk to us about the things of God. And you just do for someone else what someone has done for you. It could have been a parent. It could have been a good friend. Do for someone else what was done for you. Bring them to the door. Did you know you're sitting here right now because somebody brought you? Somebody brought you here. You're saved right now because someone brought you to the door of salvation. Just think of it. As you're thinking right now, you're thinking of who that was that did that. Now, you need to do for somebody else what was done for you. It's been said that it's one beggar telling another beggar where you found bread. That's all you're doing. And so here it is. Think about the person that brought you. And now it's time for you to bring somebody else. That's how it works. And notice in this last part of verse 4, it says, "And you shall wash them with water." Aaron and his sons were washed with water. This speaks of baptism. See, after we bring a person to the door of salvation, then they are washed or baptized. We have a baptism coming up. For those of you who have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you haven't been baptized yet, you need to do that. You need to do that. Look at verses 5 and 6. "Then you shall take the garments, put the tunic on Aaron and the robe of the ephod and the ephod and the breastplate, and gird him with the intrinsically woven band of the ephod. And you shall put the turban on his head and put the holy crown on the turban." So after they were brought to the door of salvation and washed in baptism, now they are robed in garments. Just like when we came to Jesus Christ, we are robed and clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Look what it says there in verse 7. "And you shall take the anointing oil, pour it on his head, and anoint him." The oil was poured upon him. It was symbolic of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit coming upon him, because oil in the Bible is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. So as they poured the oil upon him and upon his sons, it was symbolic of the Spirit of God coming upon an individual to anoint him for service and for ministry. We cannot do effective ministry apart from being anointed by the Holy Spirit. One of the saddest verses in all the Bible you heard me mention is Judges 16:20, where Samson, you know, Delilah did what she did and woke him up. "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." He said, "All right, I will go out as I've done at previous times." And then it says, but he did not know that the Lord had left him. One of the saddest verses in all the Bible. What he was talking about is the Lord leaving him, is that anointing that was upon him. That anointing was no longer there. This is what David cried out in Psalm 51 in verse 11. He says, "Take not thy spirit from me." He said that anointing that I had to be king and make decisions and to speak forth what your word is, that anointing that I had to be considered a prophet speaking forth the word of God, that anointing, don't take that anointing from me. Because see, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would come upon the individual, and then when the ministry was done, the Spirit of God would leave, or when that individual sinned, the Spirit of God left. Therefore, he said, that anointing that I need to do effective ministry, he says, please don't take that from me, because it's nothing like ministering without the Spirit of God being upon you. For those of you who serve the Lord, you understand what I'm talking about. For those who are doing no ministry, you are clueless of what I'm talking about. And on top of that, you would never know the difference, in a sense, between a person with the Spirit upon them and the person that's not. But those who understand the Spirit of God being upon their life, oh, they can tell. They can tell. You can always tell. But those of you who sit back and do nothing, you won't tell the difference. Because you don't know it. It's just like I tell women all the time, stop saying you being father and mother. You're not. Stop. Stop saying that. Get that out of your vocabulary. You can't be father and mother. You can only be a mother. Because it takes one to know one, takes one to show one, takes one to grow one. It takes a man to show a boy how to be a man. You can't do that. You're meant to be a mother. So be you. And therefore, without you knowing and experiencing the Spirit of God upon your life and doing ministry, you will never know what I'm talking about. And here it is, that oil that was upon him, that was symbolic of how we need the Spirit of God to anoint us to do God's work. I mean, if it's God's work and God's ministry, we need his Spirit to do it. The power. It says in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You shall receive power, the Greek word dunamis, where we get dynamite, dynamo, dynamic. It's that dynamic power we need from the Spirit of God to enable us to be a witness, enable us to do the work of the Lord. Look at verses 8 through 14. Then you shall bring his sons and put tunics on them, and you shall gird them with sashes, Aaron and his sons, and put the hats on them. The priesthood shall be theirs for a perpetual statute, so you shall consecrate Aaron and his sons. You shall also have the bull brought before the tabernacle of meeting, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the bull. Then you shall kill the bull before the Lord by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. You shall take some of the blood of the bull and put it on the horns of the altar with your finger, and pour all the blood beside the base of the altar. And you shall take all the fat that covers the entrail, the fatty lobe attached to the liver, and the two kidneys and the fat that is on them, and burn them on the altar. But the flesh of the bull with its skin and its offal you shall burn with fire outside the camp. It is a sin offering. Now, here we see Aaron's sons were given robes as well as, and how Aaron and his sons had to lay their hands upon the bull, signifying that they acknowledged their sin as well. When they laid their hands on the bulls, it was as if a transference and a transferring was taking place, that their sin was placed upon the bull and the bull was offered as a sin offering. They understood that their sin required a shedding of blood. And this was the first of three sacrifices that were part of their ordination ceremony. This was called the sin offering. We're going to see the other two in verses 15 through 18. It says, you shall also take one ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the ram, and you shall kill the ram, and you shall take its blood and sprinkle it all around on the altar. Then you shall cut the ram in pieces, wash his entrails and his legs, and put them with the pieces with his head. And it says, and you shall burn the whole ram on the altar. It is a burnt offering to the Lord. It is a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. Now, this is the second offering, which is the burnt offering. The sin offering dealt with sin, and the burnt offering deals with our devotion or consecration to God. If you want to do and want to be effective in ministry for the Lord, we must be fully devoted and consecrated to him. We need to be what 2 Timothy 2:21 calls, need to be a vessel of honor. See, we want to be fully devoted to God, and we can't be fully devoted to God until the sin is dealt with in our lives. Do you see how the sin offering comes before the burnt offering? Because before we can be consecrated to God, we must first deal with our sin. Because no effective ministry will take place unless we first deal with our sin. We will end up like the young man who lost his axe head in 2 Kings chapter 6. You remember the school of the prophet, Elisha had the school of the prophets, and they were going through a building expansion program. So they went out to cut down some trees, and one young man, he had an axe and started chopping down, and all of a sudden his axe head flew off into the water. And see, what happened is this young man, he could have easily have played it off and just continued to just bang on some trees with the handle, making a bunch of noise. But no effective ministry will be taking place because no trees have ever been cut down with a wooden handle. Because wood in the Bible is a symbol of the flesh. We can't do ministry in the flesh and expect effective ministry to take place. I remember being here. I've seen this in my own life. I've seen how I've lost my cutting edge, that sharpness to do effective ministry. And I continued with the axe head banging around, making a bunch of noise, hoping no one would notice. But no effective ministry was happening. See, before any effective ministry can happen, we must do what the young man did. He cried out to Elijah and said, "Alas, master, it was borrowed. It wasn't mine." Meaning that it was not his axe head. It wasn't his axe. And this is the first thing we must do when our cutting edge is gone. We must cry out to God and acknowledge that the cutting edge is gone. "Alas, master, I don't have it anymore. I need you." Then number two, he realized that the power and the ability to do effective ministry for the Lord, it was not his. He said, "Alas, master, it's not mine. It was borrowed." And we need to understand that the power to do effective ministry is not ours. It's the Lord. It was borrowed. It's the power, notice, of the Holy Spirit that anoints us for ministry. It's not you, and because of who you are, you think God got some great bargain when he got you. No. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to do effective ministry for him. So now you can see why the sin offering must come before the burnt offering. Because we must first deal with our sin before we can be consecrated or set apart for the work of the ministry. We have to first deal with the sin in our lives. Look at verses 19 to 21. "You shall also take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the ram. Then you shall kill the ram and take some of its blood and put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron and the tip of the right ear of his sons, on the thumb of his right hand and on the big toe of his right foot, and sprinkle the blood all around on the altar. And you shall take some of the blood that is on the altar and some of the anointing oil and sprinkle it on Aaron and on his garments and on his sons and on the garments of his sons with him. And he and his garments shall be hallowed, and his sons and his sons' garments with him." This is the third offering. The third offering is the peace offering. This deals with our sanctification. When we're being set apart for the work of the Lord, notice how in this ceremony, the blood was applied to the right ear, the right thumb, and the right big toes of Aaron and his sons. Why? Because sometimes we have heard things that we shouldn't have heard. Sometimes that we have done things that we shouldn't have done and gone to places we shouldn't have gone. So the blood is applied to the right ear, the right thumb, and the right big toe to show that all of our shortcomings in what we have heard, what we've done, the places we've gone, is all covered under the blood of Jesus Christ, cleansed and forgiven. I don't know about you, but that's good news for me to hear. You know why? Because I've listened to cursing in movies, gossip about other people that I shouldn't have listened to, I've done things that I'm ashamed that I've done. I've gone to places that I had no business going. And knowing that the blood was applied to the right ears, the right thumbs, and the right big toes brings me great comfort. Because there are right things to listen to. There are right places to go. There are right things to do. And so as you evaluate your life right now, look at what you're doing through that grid, through those three things. The things that you're listening to, are they right things? The places that you're going, are they right places? The things that you're doing, your hands are doing, are they right things to do? See, because you have to evaluate your life and say, are they right things? Only you can answer that question. Only you can answer the things that you're listening to. The thing that's on your iPad and iTouch and iPhone and whatever you got, you know. Are they right things to listen to? See, the Bible says, Paul tells us all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. But what Paul is saying, that we have Christian liberty to do whatever we want to do. But then you have to ask yourself, is all things expedient? Meaning that, does it help me in my Christian walk? You can do whatever it is you want to do, but you have to ask yourself, will it help me in my Christian walk? Me listening to this, will this help me grow closer in my walk with the Lord? You're at liberty to listen to whatever you want to listen to, but you have to answer that question, though. Then he said, Paul says, all things are lawful, all this in 1 Corinthians 6. He said, all things are lawful, in verse 12 and then verse 19 or so. He said, all things are lawful, he said, but all things doesn't edify. Meaning it doesn't build me up. So you have to ask yourself this. You can do whatever you want to do. Go wherever you want to go. Listen to whatever you want to listen to. But number one, is it helping me in my walk with the Lord? Is it building me up in my walk with the Lord? If you say yes, then you have liberty to do it. Go for it. Me drinking this, would this help me in my walk with the Lord? I'm at liberty to drink it. Would this help me in my walk with the Lord? Will it build me up? Me smoking this, would this help me in my walk with the Lord? Would this build me up in my walk with the Lord? Me going to this place, me doing this with them, would this help me in my walk with the Lord? Will it build me up in my walk with the Lord, or will it tear me down? So this is why I'm thankful that the blood was applied to the right ear, the right thumb, and the right big toe. Because I've listened to things I shouldn't have listened. I've handled things I shouldn't have. And these feet have taken me places I shouldn't have been. But understanding that the blood of Jesus, I'm cleansed and forgiven. Hey, that sets me free. That sets me free. Look what he says there in verses 22 to 28. It says, also you shall take the fat of the ram, the fat tail, and the fat that covers the entrails, the fatty lobe attached to the liver, the two kidneys, and the fat on them, the right thigh, for it is a ram of consecration. And one loaf of bread, one cake made with oil, and one wafer from the basket of the unleavened bread that is before the Lord. And you shall put all these in the hand of Aaron and the hands of the sons, and you shall wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. You shall receive them back from their hands and burn them on the altar as a burnt offering, as a sweet aroma before the Lord. It is an offering made by fire to the Lord. Then you shall take the breast of the ram of Aaron's consecration and wave it as a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be your portion. And from the ram of the consecration, you shall consecrate the breast of the wave offering, which is waved, and the thigh of the heave offering, which is raised, of that which is for Aaron, and of that which is for his sons. It shall be from the children of Israel, from Aaron and his sons, by a statute forever, for it is a heave offering. It shall be a heave offering from the children of Israel, from the sacrifices of their peace offering, that is their heave offering to the Lord. And the holy garments of Aaron, shall be his sons after him, to be anointed in them and to be consecrated in them. I want you to notice Aaron and his sons' hands that were once empty are now filled with what is needed to do their ministry. So too, it is with us. We need to come to the Lord empty-handed, letting Him fill them with what is needed to do the ministry He's called us to do. It's just like David when he faced Goliath. He came empty-handed. Yes, he had a staff, but it wasn't until he went out that he found five smooth stones that he did battle with. See, David had committed to the battle, and then the Lord provided the five smooth stones for him. Why five smooth stones? Was he a bad shot? I mean, Goliath was pretty, he can dodge the... No, many scholars suggest five smooth stones because Goliath had four of the brothers. Just in case they wanted to come, I got a rock for you too in this pouch. So it wasn't until he went out that God provided for him what was needed for ministry. And so too it is with us. It's not until we start sharing our faith and reaching out to people, start serving in some ministry, that He will begin to give you what is needed for the ministry. It's not until we get out of our comfort zones that the Lord will show us the five smooth stones He has for us to do ministry. See, it's not until you get out and start doing something that God will give you what is needed for the ministry. Look at verses 29 and 30. It says, "And the holy garments of Aaron shall be his sons after him, to be anointed in them and to be consecrated in them. That son who becomes priest in his place shall put them on for 7 days when he enters the tabernacle of meeting to minister in the holy place." Just like Aaron's garments will be passed on to his sons, men, single parents, dads, our character will be passed on to our children as well. See, if I want my children to be men and women of prayer, then I must be someone who prays. If I want them to be men and women who love the scriptures, then I must be a man of the scriptures. If I want them to be honest, then I must be cultivating honesty in the home, because the garments I wear, better or worse, will be passed on to my kids. I don't know about you, but that's kind of scary. No, that's pretty scary. No matter what garments you're wearing, they get passed on to your kids. And this is why, if you want them to be godly people, then we have to be godly. See, my point is this. It's one thing to go behind a closed door and read and pray, and that has its place. But they need to see you reading and praying. If you always are in your prayer closet, so to speak, they would never know why you're in there. They would never know what you're doing in there. Why are you always in that closet with the door closed? They need to see you reading. They need to see you praying. They need to see, not for show, but for an example. Because kids learn by example. They learn. Now, I know our children, they grow up and they will make their own choices. That has nothing to do with us. I understand that. But what we can do is to help them cultivate a walk with the Lord that includes prayer, Bible study, and loving God. I mean, I taught my kids the scripture. You hear me say it many times. And especially when they go to school, I will get up, I will read. And then the verse that stood out to me, I would take it and write it on a sticky, a little yellow sticky, and I paste it to their mirror. So when they wake up in the morning, you got a scripture right there staring them in their face. Right there, right there. Okay, right there, right there. Here, I put it in the sink there, take it, and get this out of here. If I put it on that mirror, it's right there. That's it. Oh, Proverbs 27 says, and I did stuff like that. Taught them the scriptures, all kind of scriptures I taught them. Hey, but they're going to grow up, and they're going to make decisions that has nothing to do with me. They're going to make some that's unfortunately because of me. But they're going to make some that has nothing to do with me. And I understand that. But we need to at least be able to teach them and pour into them. Don't depend on the children's ministry to teach your kids. And we're going to make sure we teach them. We're going to do all we can. But what we do is just like a vitamin. It's just a supplement. You can't live off of vitamins. Hey, what you had to eat today? A bunch of vitamins. You can't live off of that. Vitamins are just a supplement to our meals. So we, the church and our children's ministry, we try to do the best job we can, but we're just vitamins. We just come alongside of you, helping you. So if you depend on us to do it, your kid spiritually is trying to survive off of vitamins. And they need you to be showing them these things. So we have to walk with the Lord, and so we can be passed on from generation to generation. Yes, we sin. Yes, we make mistakes. This is where we lean upon the grace and mercy of God. We sin. We make mistakes. We do. The Bible says in James 3:2, for we stumble in many things. We do. And unfortunately, our kids see it. And they see it, and this is where you just got to cry out for mercy and cry out for the grace of God. Because I wish we can just be perfect in front of our kids. I wish we could. But we don't. We blow it. We blow it like everybody. You know, we do. So that's where the mercy and grace of God comes in. Now, in verses 31 to 43, Aaron and his sons were to spend 7 days before the Lord seeking him, offering him sacrifices, and dedicating the altar. The way that they would consecrate themselves is by offering a lamb as a sacrifice every morning and evening. Here's a wonderful principle being taught to us here. If we want our day to be consecrated unto the Lord, then we need to start it with prayer, praise, and the study of the Word of God. And we need to do the same in the evening. Prayer and the study of the Scripture in the evening makes the last thing you think about is God's Word. Thinking God's thoughts before you go off in La La Land. That's just a great thing. I've gotten away from this. I've gotten away from the evening part. It's just something I used to do, you know, at morning and evening. And I've gotten away from it. But we need to get back to this. Talk to the Lord. Yes, we talk to the Lord throughout the day. And yeah, we do that. Yes, amen, praise the Lord. But there's something about meditating on the Word of God day and night. The Bible says that. It's a principle throughout the Scripture. Psalm 1. You know, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law does he meditate day and night. Joshua 1:8-9. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. Psalm 119:147-148. He talks about meditating on the Lord at night and in the morning. It's a principle throughout the Scripture. Now, verses 44 to 46, so we can wrap it up. It says, so I will consecrate the tabernacle of meeting and the altar. I will also consecrate both Aaron and his sons to minister to me as priests. And I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God who brought them up out of the land of Egypt that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. Now, it was Moses who would consecrate Aaron and his sons, but Moses was only doing what only God can do in reality. It is God that will do the work through us. See, Moses was only doing physically what God had done already. This is what ordination is. When you see we ordain some guys to the ministry, we're only confirming what God has already done. There's nothing in us, you know, like we anointed you to be a pastor. No, God, wherever the read, God enabled us, putting us in the ministry. It's God who did it. We're just confirming it. And that's all Moses is doing here. That everything, he said, I'm the one who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Don't forget who this is all about. It's all about me. And that's what ministry is all about. It's all about the Lord. So many people make ministry all about them. Oh, help us, Lord. It's all about the Lord. Yes. The Lord uses people. And when folks say, you know, thank you, Pastor Tony, you brought something out there, you answered some questions. I just said thank you, but you know, we just thank God together. It's the Lord who really did, but I appreciate you saying that. And you know, I don't get weird on you. Oh, Pastor Tony, God bless you. I really appreciate that. Don't look at me. It's the Lord. Now, I ain't going to get weird. Because the people, they will say, I don't see the Lord. I see you. So, okay. So I just say thank you. And we all know it's the Lord. We know. It's his word. We know. I told people, I don't have a heaven to put you in nor hell. I didn't die for anybody's sin here. And so, therefore, it is all about the Lord. Let me conclude with this. Enjoy doing ministry for the Lord, but realize that before we can do effective ministry, sin must be dealt with first. And we learned this from the sin offering and the burnt offering. We'll get more in detail with that in the book of Leviticus. And keep in mind that we pass on our garments down to our children. Ooh, whether good or bad, we do. We pass them on. And let us pass down the garments of prayer and praise and Bible study. Let our children see us reading, see us praying. Read to them. When they were little bitty kids, my kids were little bitty kids. Their little children's Bible. I remember, you know, with the colorful little pictures and maybe two or three sentences, you know. I remember reading my kids, and they go through the entire Bible. I remember reading that to my kids every night. I read that through to them at least eight times, that Bible, at least eight times to them. I tried to do what I could. And so too, you do what you can. Let them see you reading and leading in spiritual things. Let them see that. And finally, in order to be consecrated, you must first offer a lamb as a sacrifice in the morning and in the evening. Make sure that we develop this daily habit, spending time in prayer and study of the Word of God in the morning and in the evening. Let me just challenge you with this. Try this for 7 days. Meditate on the Word of God in the morning and before you go to bed. And see how the Word of God doesn't transform your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this opportunity to study your Word with your people. I pray blessings upon them. I pray, God, that we would be a people of the Word. I pray that we will realize, Lord, that we pass our garments on to our children. Let us pass on the garments of praise and Bible study and prayer. And Lord, thank you so much that the anointing oil was poured on, Lord, the right thumb and the right toe and the right ear, so we may hear and do and go places you want us to go. Help us to be mindful of these things. Do a work in us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.